Okay, so we're in Daf Mem Aleph today. So yesterday we went through the Mishnah a little bit. Gemara, I'll go over again today. Let me say this outside, and then we'll do it inside. So the idea is, if a person is a shomer, so he's not allowed to use chefza that he's guarding for his own purposes. But if he does, and we have permission, he's a shoel. He could be a shoel shlomi dad. In other words, he's borrowing it without permission of the owner. If he's a shoel shlomi dad, then he's chayav an onsen. Anything that happens to the chefza, he's absolutely liable for it. Now, in addition to which, there's a machloket, which we did the other last night, we'll go again today, between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. If somebody steals something from somebody, and again, a shoel shlomi dad is basically a goslin. That's what he's stealing. So a goslin is chayav an onsen. So he's chayav an every ones that happens. So there's a machloket between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. If I return a chefza to somebody, do I have to notify the owners that I've returned it? Point to Rabbi Shmuel, I just put it back and I'm done. Point to Rabbi Akiva, I have to notify the person. And if I don't notify him, I'm still on the line for onsim. So the Mishnah is going to. So one way that the Gemara has to understand the Mishnah represents the opinion of two different Tanaim, one being Rabbi Shmuel and one Rabbi Akiva. So in the first part of the Mishnah, we're going to learn is mafkir chavit al chaver. I mean, Reuben leaves a chavit, a barrel to be wine with Shimon, and then he says, "V'lo yichadu lo ba'al makom." The owner Reuben didn't say, "Do I have your permission? I want to use this corner of the house to keep my barrel or whatever." So, but the chiddush is going to be the first part of the mission is going to be like Rabbi Shmuel. So, if something happens when he's borrowed it for his own purposes, then he's absolutely liable. He, Shimon, is absolutely liable for it. Once he puts it back where he took it, then he's off the hook because that's going like Rabbi Shmuel. And the beginning of the Mishnah speaks about lo yichadu l'makom, meaning if he's not miyachid l'makom, so it's like less on the returning. In other words, when I return something, if I return to its own makom, that's more of a return. So even though I didn't return it to its makom, it doesn't have a makom per se, I'm still off the hook. That's the first part of the Mishnah. And the second part of the Mishnah is where the Balaam thing case, he comes, but he's miyachid makom. And then this we're going to say is like Rabbi Akiva. So once he borrows it for his own, in quotation marks, for his own purposes, even if he puts it back, he's still on the line for any onsim that occur. And even if he puts it back in its makom, he's still on the line. There you have it. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, unless you notify the owner that you put it back, you're still all responsible. Everybody good with what I said so far? Okay. So let me read it inside. We'll do a piece of the Gemara and then we'll go over again. I'll take a look at it. All right. Let's take a look in the third white line on Mem on Beis. So manitin, amachid chavid. So if Reuben leaves a chavid is a barrel. The barrel is means like an earthenware barrel. When I was younger, they would talk about a barrel. I'd always think of a barrel like the old West, like the wooden barrel. But a chazal is like an earthenware barrel, but it means like something, let's say, filled with wine. Below yichadu labal makom, the original owner, I Reuben, didn't designate a spot or they didn't work out a deal. If you look at Rashi, he says, "Lo yichadu labal makom, b'beis shomer lo lemor lo zaviot zu hashleni." Loan me this corner. I didn't work out a deal with him. And then back in the Mishnah, b'tiltala, and then Shimon moves it, b'nishtavra, and then the chavit got broken. He says, "Imi tochi adon nishbara." If it broke while it was being moved, while it was not in its regular spot, l'tzorko chayav. So if he removed it for his own needs, then he's on the line for it. With Sorka Patur, but if he moved it to protect the barrel or something like that, then he's Patur. Nishbara, but if it broke after he returned it back to its original location, Sorka Patur, whether he had removed it originally for his need or the barrel's need, he's Patur. Okay, that's the first part, which we don't know, but the Gemara is going to say, be like Rabbi Shmuel. Then the second part, which we think the Gemara is going to say, one attempt it to be like Rabbi Akiva, yichadu labal makom. If the owner has designated a spot for it, b'tiltala v'nishbara, and then the shomer moves it and it broke. Bein mitoch yado, ubein mishenicha. Whether it broke while it was like in transit, while it was being removed from its spot, or bein mishenicha, after he returned it to the spot, l'tzorko chayav. If he had removed it for his own needs, he's chayav because this is going like Rabbi Akiva, who says that you're on the line unless you notify the owner that that you've returned it. He says, Latsorka Patur. Latsorka is Patur. And then the Gemara is going to explain that here he says, Yichadu Lamakom, that even where he returns it back to its original spot, which is more of a Hashava, he's still on the line unless he notifies the original owner. Okay? Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see back in the Gemara. We'll do another 10 lines and then we'll go over again. Okay? So the Gemara says, Amani Rabbi Shmuel, the first part of the Mishnah, it was like the Tan Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Lobin and Dad Balim. That you don't need the knowledge of the owners when you return a hefta. He says, the Tani, we learn the Braisa, Hagonit Tlemina Eder, a person steals a lamb from the flock, Beselamina Kis, or he stole a sella from a purse. Lamakom Shaganab Yasir, the Rabbi Shmuel. So he just put it back, and then he's good. Rabbi Kiva Omer, the top line on the Malach and Aleph, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Srit Dad Balim. Rabbi Kiva says, not enough, just put it back. You have to notify the original owners. And the idea is that if you don't know or notify them, then you're responsible to anything that happens to it. And if, let's look at the top line of Rashi, Srit Dad Balim, Bimlohodiyam, if you didn't notify them, Chayabach Riyutam, then you're responsible for that Hepsa, Imeid Onignav, whether it died or was stolen. Me the shakle, in other words, even though he could be a shomer chinam, but he's going to be chay for geneva. Me the shakle, kam lebirshute. Once he takes it illicitly, now it's in his rishus, the god of the shomer. Hashava v'lo yidi alav hashava hi. Returning without notifying is not considered returning. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. We'll do a few more lines and we'll pause. Okay, so the top line. So the Gemara says, "I Rabbi Shmuel, if the first part of the braisa follows the Tan Rabbi Shmuel." My area lo yichadu, afilu nami. Why does the Tana emphasize that the owner had or the had not designated a spot for the barrel? Afilu yichadu nami. Even if he had designated a spot, in other words, if he had designated a spot and then he had illicitly taken it away and then he returned it, he'd still be off the hook. In other words, the idea is that if you have a designated spot. That's more of a geneva. In other words, if it's a, it, in other words, it looks more like a geneva if I take it from his designated spot than a non-designated spot. But Rabbi Shmuel holds that even if he took it from a designated spot, which is like a real, more like a Maaseh geneva, he's still off the hook once he returns it. So why doesn't he teach it to me? So the Gemara says, Loma Baya Kamar. In other words, the Tana saying goes without saying, meaning, Loma Baya Yichada de Makomahu. It goes without saying he's focusing not on the theft but on the return. In other words, it goes without saying that if he returns it to its spot, meaning because it has him a spot, then he's definitely off the hook for Yishmael. If you lo yichadu, even if he hadn't chosen the spot, we're going to not this spot. La makomahu, in other words, so he's not returning it to its spot. It doesn't have a spot. Lo ba'inan dad balam. You don't need the das balam. That's the first part of the Mishnah. All right, let's do the second part and then a few more lines, and then we'll pause. Okay. Ema Seifa, let's go to the Seifa of the Mishnah. Yichadu Balim Makom. The Mishnah says that the Balim doesn't need a spot for the Chavit. He says, Vitiltala, and then Shimon moves it. Vinishbara, and then it broke. Vein Mitoch Yado, Vein Mishenicha, whether it's Mitoch Yado, meaning the period where it was like he moves it, during that period of time it broke, or it happened after he put it back. Letzor Ko Chayav, if he removes it for his own needs, he's on the line for it. The Tzorka Patur. But if it's for the needs of the barrel, and he's got to protect the barrel or something like that, then he's Patur. So Atan the Rabbi Akiva Damar Ba'inan Dat Balim. So this reflects the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who says in order to return it and be off the hook, you have to notify the Balim, in this case it would be Reuven. Since he didn't notify Reuven, so he's on the hook, having illicitly moved the barrel. Anything that happens to it, he's Chayav an own sin. So, I Rabbi Akiva, if we're saying that this part of the Mishnah follows Rabbi Akiva, my area Yichudo, why does he say that he's only on the line of Yichudo? In other words, this is focusing on the stealing part or the removal. Afilo Yichudo Nami. So, even if he hadn't designated a spot, it means like looks like less like an act of Geneva, but according to Rabbi Akiva, you'd still be on the, you'd still be, you'd just be responsible until you notify the Balin. So, the word says, Lomi Baya Kamar. It goes without saying. It goes without saying that once he returns it and there wasn't a spot, that's not a smakom, so it doesn't count as return. He says, even if he returns it to it, has the spot, and he returns it to his spot, still not enough. So let me just do just a few more lines, and we'll pause, and we'll take station. We'll speak. So the Gemara says, "Reish Rabbi Shmuel v'Seif Rabbi Akiva." So strange. In the beginning, the Mishnah follows Rabbi Shmuel, and the Seif follows Rabbi Akiva. In the Gemara says, "Absolutely, that is the way it goes." He says, "The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, man de mitargim li chavit, li b'dachat Tana." If there would be somebody who would explain the Mishnah with chavit, which is the Mishnah that we just did, in accordance with the opinion of one Tana, mobil namane batrei the bemasuta, I would take his clothes after him to the bathhouse. Meaning, I'd be very subordinated to him because he did right. Okay, let's just again repeat what we did, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so the basic yisod, we said that if a person is a shomer and he uses the plechta without the permission of the owner, then he gets converted to a goslin. He's shlomo shlomi dad, so he's a goslin now, a thief. A goslin is chayiv even on own sin. So even though I start off shlomi chinam, you know that I'm only chayiv on pshia. Once I do an act, I'm shlomi dad. Now I'm a goslin. I'm chayiv even on own sin, everything. So then the question is, how do I undo that situation? So according to Rabbi Shmuel, once I put the chafetz back, so then I'm finished. But according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not enough to put it back. I have to notify the owner that I took it and put it back, and now everything is the way it was. That's according to Rabbi Akiva. So we think that our Mishnah reflects both these opinions. The beginning of the Mishnah reflects the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Shmuel, and it says that if there was lo yichidu makom, in other words, if the owner had not designated a spot for the barrel, so even though he took it and he brings it back, and he doesn't bring it back to its makom because it doesn't have a makom, nevertheless, according to Rabbi Shmuel, he's off the hook. He did what he needed to do. So if he took it illicitly and for his own purposes, and then he and then something
Return.
happens to it, then he's in trouble. But once he returns it, he's off the hook. But according to Rabbi Akiva, and here the case of the Mishnah is where yichidu l'makom, they designate a spot for it. According to Rabbi Akiva, once I illicitly take it, I'm on the hook for it. Even if I put it back, even if I put it back in its makom, I'm on the hook unless I notify the Baalim. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
You have a designated spot, but you don't return it to that spot.
Yeah.
It's a fire, right?
So Lachora, then you'd be in trouble, right? You'd have to,
Even though you return it
yeah, you'd have to return it
to
back
the
to the
next spot.
spot. Okay. All right. Everybody good? I'm going to move on. All right. Okay. Let's see further. Okay. Now, all right, we're around 20 lines down. Look at our welcome stuff. Okay. I'm sorry you missed the first piece and the review of the first piece, but well, we'll see. Okay. Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay. 41A. Okay, in the middle, around 10 lines down. Okay, all right. So, so Tirgum Rabbi Yaakov. Now the Gemara is going to have a number of ways to explain the whole Mishnah in accordance with Rabbi Shmuel. Everybody got that? The Gemara is going to have several ways. We just said that Rabbi Yochanan said, if somebody can explain this whole Mishnah according to one Tana, you know,
Sir.
I bring a father, bring his clothes to him to the bathhouse. Now the Gemara is going to have several ways to explain the whole Mishnah in accordance to Rabbi Shmuel, but the Gemara is going to explain why Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan does not subscribe to this Hesber. But first, Gemara has like it's really one way to explain it, but sort of like three different little nuances. So Tirgum Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba coming to Rav. So Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba explained before Rav shenat lamanat begozla that the shomer is talking about where the shomer took it with intent to steal it. That's the way Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba explained the Mishnah. Tirgum Rabbi Nachman bar Abba came to Rav. Rabbi Nachman bar Abba explained it before Rav. Shenat lo amanat l'shtolach that he took it amanat l'shtolach b'yad means to misappropriate part of it. In other words, now with shlichus yad, we've had this in the Chumash, and we're going to have a little bit more. So a shomer is chayav if he's a shlichus yad. Shlichus Yad has one chiddush over Gzela. In other words, Gzela, I'm responsible. I steal the whole thing. I'm responsible for it. With Shlichus Yad, let's say my intent is to take a. Let's say I have a barrel of wine. My intent is only in the barrel is to take, you know, 5 gallons. My intent is to steal one cup. I'm nevertheless responsible for the whole barrel since I took it with intent to steal the one cup. That's Shlichus Yad. Okay, the whole barrel. Right, the barrel, even though my intent was just to steal one cup of the wine. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So What's the point is between the two of them? Now, again, in the Mishnah, we're talking about where he steals a barrel and then he's going to put the barrel back, and the barrel will be back the same way it was when he took it. So what's the Nekudah Machloket? Why does one say that he stole it with intent to steal, even though he took it with intent to steal? The other says he intended with Shlichus Yad. He says, the Nekudah Machloket is, could I have Shlichus Yad? Do I have to have something happen to the chefza? Does it have to be in some way damaged or harmed when I take it in order to be chayav for shlichus yad? He says, "Manda amar legozla." The opinion that says the Mishnah is taking that he, the shomer, intends to steal it, he holds shlichus yad requires chisaron. So here in the Mishnah, where he's putting it back. Eventually, he puts it back, and he puts it back the way it was. So he that opinion doesn't hold. I could say explain with Shlichus Yad, because Shlichus Yad, in order to be chayav for Shlichus Yad, I have to harm the chefza in some way. He says, "Uman damar shlof yad." The one who says no, the Mishnah is even talking about Shlichus Yad. So Shlichus Yad ain't a he disagrees with that yesod, and he holds you can have Shlichus Yad even if you didn't harm the chefza. And we'll see this machloket later on in our Gemara. So Rav Sheshet asks a strong kasha against both of those opinions. Midi not lakatani, tilta. Does it say that he notla means he took it? It says tiltla, he moved it. Ella amra of Sheshet, hakmayaskinan, no should tiltla goes alone. So Rav Sheshet says that the pshat in the Mishnah is that the shomer took the barrel, he wanted to use the barrel like a ladder. In other words, he wanted to get pigeons in the dovecote or whatever. So he says, "Here's this barrel. I'll take the barrel. I'll climb up on it, get the pigeons, and put it back." He says, "Shoel." He holds that if you're shoel shlomidad, if I borrow something without the knowledge of the owner, then I'm a gazlan. Okay. So now v'kula Rabbi Shmuel. Now, so all three opinions hold that the entire Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shmuel. B'seifa shenicha b'makom she'ena. So the Seifa case where he retains liability, and this is something that Yosef had alluded to a moment ago, that if there's a makom for the barrel, then even though Rabbi Shmuel says once you return it, you're off the hook, but you got to return it to the spot that you took it from. So here in the Seifa of the Mishnah, there's a makom for the barrel, but he doesn't return it back to the place that he took it from. So therefore, in that case, Rabbi Shmuel holds you remain on the hook. For Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says the word hinicha sounds like he put it back in its original spot. He says, all right, so all right, let's go over again. I feel a bit badly for Seth who just came in. Let me just do a little bit for Seth and then review for everybody. We'll take everything together. Okay, this is like the third review, but I guess Chazara is the key in learning anyway. But so. We're talking about a mafkid and a shomer. Reuven has a barrel of wine. He gives it to Shimon, who's the shomer. That's the first you saw. So, if Shimon uses the barrel for his own purposes without Reuven's knowledge and consent, then Shimon becomes like a gazlan. He becomes responsible, and he's responsible for everything. So even though he starts off as a shomer chinam, could be that he's just chai for pshia. But once he borrows it for his own purposes, now he's a shoel shlomidad, now he's chayav no matter what happens to the barrel. So then the Mishnah takes up what happens when he puts the barrel back. So we had a machloket tanoim between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel says, you put it back, no harm, no foul. According to Rabbi Akiva, you put it back, you're still responsible unless you notify the owner that I had taken it and put it back and now it's back where it was. So Mishnah had two parts, but the first part of the Mishnah was like Rabbi Shmuel, and the second part was like Rabbi Akiva. So the first part said you're responsible until you put it back, and the second part says you're responsible forever. So the Gemara said the second part is like Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara is saying that the whole Mishnah could even be like Rabbi Shmuel. It's talking about where there's a makom where Reuven says, "May I borrow this corner of your house to leave my barrel?" And Shimon says yes, so he has a makom. Then even Rabbi Shmuel holds that, yeah, when you put it back, you're not responsible. You got to put it back in the place that you took it from. So here, We could say the Mishnah is speaking about he didn't put it back where he took it from, and even Rabbi Shmuel holds he's still responsible for it. And Rabbi Yochanan, who doesn't explain the Mishnah that way, he holds he says when it says Mishenicha, that sounds like that he put it back in the place that he took it from. Okay, who's had questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Repeat. Repeat. There's two ways. Either the Mishnah has one half Rabbi Akiva, one half Rabbi Shmuel, or well, the Gemara had no kimta that we could say that it's going like Rabbi Shmuel. But it's not that the Gemara is machria one way or the other way. Indeed, yeah, right. Rabbi Yochanan says the other way. Rabbi Yochanan says the other way. All right, let's see further in the Gemara, okay? All right, so I'm now 8 lines above where it gets wide. The word Itmar. Yeah, Seth, you have the place Itmar? Okay. So Itmar, Rav and Levi. So it's about hope between Rav and Levi. Rav and Levi are the first generation of Amoraim. We know Rav, the Gemara says, Tanahu Palig. And so, and Levi, Levi, Akbikita Kami, the Rebbe, the Gemara says, Levi showed, demonstrated Kita before Rebbe, but they're like very close to the time of Rebbe Ben Anasi, or they're contemporaneous with him. They're overlapping. So Itmar, Rav Levi, Katamar Shlichat Yad, Shlichat Kisaron. One says, in order to have the din of Shlichat Yad is when the Shomer misappropriates something that was given to him, and he becomes Chayiv even on own sin. He says, you need Kisaron. In other words, the thing has to have been in some way damaged, weakened. He says, but Katamar Shlichat Yad in the Shlichat Kisaron. One says, it doesn't require that. So the Gemara says, to sign the Rav with the Mar Shlichat Yad in the Shlichat Kisaron. So Rav and Levi, one holds the Nigatisar, one holds not. So we think that it's logical that Rav must be the one who holds it. It doesn't require Chisaron. The Tanya, to learn in the Braisa, Roeshe Roedro, a shepherd was grazing his sheep, Biniachedro, Ubalayir, and it means these are other people's sheep. In other words, he's grazing the sheep for other people, and he leaves his flock and he comes to the city. Now, in going to the city, Rashi points out that's not an act of Shia, so this is the fourth wide line in Rashi, third and fourth wide line. He says, "Mukminala the Albi Dan Daily Inchi," that he went when people would normally go to the city. Yaminasokarapolim, Inami Shmakol Aryeval. Or here is a lion; he's got that place. He doesn't have to give his life for the lion. He says, "Ubalayir, Ubaza'e." Back in the Gemara, Ubaza'e v'taraf, and the wolf came and ripped up one of the lambs. Uba Riva Daras. Now, Ze'ev Taraf means he like rips up the animal and then he takes it to his lair. Ba Riva Daras, yeah, Riva is the race. He like rips up the animal and eats it there and has lunch. Patur. So the row is Patur. But Hiniach Maklo Vitarmi Loala. If before leaving he left his makel, his staff, Vitarmi Lo, his satchel on one of the lambs, then he's chai. Because the Gemara takes it when he leaves his makel and his tarmil on one lamb, that evinces an intent to claim that lamb as his own. In other words, it's somebody else's lamb, but now he's the shlichus yad. We're going to explain. Let's just chill out, and we'll get to all the circumstances. Okay, so he's chayav. So that's the end of the brisa. Rabin and Bab, we were osek in the brisa, and we asked the following question: Mishum deniach maklo tarmil lachayav, because he left his staff and his satchel on the lamb, therefore he's chayiv. So hashaklinu. So Gemara assumes that he took it off before anything else happened. And the reason that I saw this in some, I think, in the Masifta, was saying, like, normally you'd expect it to say, if he left it on it, you'd say, not hiniach makol b'tarmilo, but like makol b'tarmilo, we're munachim aleh, we're resting on it. Because hiniach sounds like he left it and took it. So Gemara says in small Aleph, "Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, Amar Rav, but O Dan Aleh." So Rav explains the Brice is talking about that he leaves it there. So it's got, in other words, the staff is on lamb and the sack is on the lamb. So the Gemara says, "But ki O Dan Aleh Mayhave, Halo Mashka." But even if it's on the lamb, Halo Mashka, he didn't do an act of Mashicha. So it means that even, in other words, like there's Kinyane Gezela. In other words, in order to acquire something as a goslin, in order to be chayav on own sin, you have to do an act of kinyan, even though it doesn't mean like you're the legal owner, but you have to do an act by which you become chayiv even an own sin. You didn't do an act of mashicha. So the Amar of Shmuel Rav Yisrael Rav Shikisha b'matel v'rak salafanav. So Rav explains, Bryce is talking about that he hit the lamb or whatever the animal is with the staff, and the lamb ran in front of him, which is a type of kinyan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the lamb is the same lamb, so there's no chisaron. So the fact that Rav holds that the shepherd is liable in this case, and the shepherd didn't in any way reduce the lamb in any way, you know, he didn't take anything from the lamb, but he didn't act a kinyan on lamb, that holds, that shows that Rav holds that shlichas yad doesn't require a chisaron, doesn't require any damage or anything reduced in the item. So the Gemara says on line four, Ema shechisha b'matel. So the Gemara says, the way I should understand it is that Rav is really saying that he weakened the animal with the makel. In other words, he hit it with the makel, but as a result of hitting it, the animal is weakened. So the Gemara says, now we have dekanami dekatani. Now dekatani is usually we learn the brisa. But here the Gemara is latching onto Rav's statement. So if you look on the side, he has the Girsa of the Maharam is Da'amar. Dekanami Da'amar, Shehi Kisha B'Makel. So the Gemara says you could deduce the same thing from the fact that Rav said, Hi Kisha B'Makel. He could have said, Shehi Kisha, he hit it. But Hi Kisha B'Makel, he hit it with his rod, Shmamina. From the fact that he said Makel, the implication is that he harmed the animal. So now the Gemara brought it to bring a proof that Rav holds, Yev Shlichos Yad, without chisaron, but now the Gemara is saying pumpakert. Rav looks like for shlichas yad you need a chisaron. When we derav sabar shlichas yad shlichas chisaron, so there's only two opinions: one who Rav and Levi. One holds you need a chisaron, one holds not. So having deduced that Rav is the one who holds you need a chisaron, so he says Levi sabar shlichas yad ain't a shlichas chisaron. Then Levi must hold that for shlichas yad you don't require a chisaron. All right. This is all right? Okay, let's just go again. We don't need the names. We just need the ideas. Okay, so the idea is, does Shlichas Yad require Chisaron or not? Okay, Seth, you're listening. Everybody focus. So if a person's a shomer on an object, and then he misappropriates even part of the object, he, the shomer, becomes liable for the entire object. He's chayiving him on his own sin. He's actually a chayiv. So when we say that the Shomer does Shlichas Yad, what constitutes Shlichas Yad? Does he have to, in some way, damage the object or not? So is the Machloket for Shlichas Yad, do I require damage in the article or not? One opinion says yes, and one opinion says no. So the Gemara says that Rav, at the end of the day, holds that you do need some damage. So in the case with the sheep, he gave a whack to the sheep, so the sheep was in some way weakened, so that counts as Shlichas Yad, and he intends to misappropriate the sheep. And Levi holds, you don't require that. Okay, that's all we did so far. Is everybody okay so far or not? Okay, let's open the Chumash. You have a Chumash. Seth, you need a Chumash. It helps to have a Chumash. Okay, so but if you have a Chumash, we're on page 426, okay? So there's two parshiot in the Torah where it talks about the Shomer Chinam. There's one closer here, Seth, this, on the bottom shelf here. Okay. So there's right. I was going to say, even in Parsha Mishpatim, you have the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Safar. Page 426, 426, okay? So three lines from the bottom. Okay. So it says, Kitani Shu Kesav Bukin the Shmor Bukinab Yerayish. So in Lo Yim, turn page, he says, Im Lo Yim Sig Ganav, and Ikrab Bada Elohim, Lo Shalaki Dabon Lech Reyu. So if you don't find the Ganav, then Ikrab Bada Elohim, Lo Shalaki Dabon Lech Reyu. You have to have like a Din Torah, and he says here, he says, the householder. He says, in other words, there has to be determination whether the shomer has shlichus yad. That's what the first part says. So if he's shlichus yad, then he's going to be chayav. That's basically what it comes out. Then in pasuk tet, he's talking about a shomer sachar. He has to take a shvua if he didn't have shlichus yad. So the idea is if he has Shlichus Yad, he'll be responsible. So we have the Din of Shlichus Yad we have by the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Sachar. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, downstairs. So the two lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? Seth, with me? Everybody with me? Okay, so two lines from the bottom in the Gemara. So my Tamad Levi, what's the reason who holds that I don't need that I don't need chisaron for tav shlichus yad. So Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yosef ben Orai. Rabbi Yochanan says the name of Rabbi Yosef ben Orai. So Rabbi Yosef ben Orai, l'chora, is a Tana. So, and he was Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe. Or at least that's the way Rashi says it. Mishum usually means he has Masori, you didn't hear it directly from him. He says, Mishkuna shlichad yad amur b'shomer sachar, Mishlichad yad amur b'shomer chinam. In other words, the din of shlichus yad that's said by the shomer sachar is different than the din of shlichus yad that's said by the shomer chinam. We'll explain shortly. Turn page. Vani omer, ein mishuna. I hold they're both the same. So, umay mishuna, what's different? So the Gemara says, lo tamar shlichad yad b'shomer sachar. The Torah doesn't have to even write shlichus yad by shomer sachar, b'teitim shomer chinam. In other words, it would have been enough if the Torah only wrote the din of shlichus yad by the shomer chinam and left it out by the shomer sachar. He says, and I would deduce it logically, and the logic would go like this: umas shomer chinam shepatur b'gneiva b'aveda. A shomer chinam, he doesn't have a lot of responsibilities, and he's only chayav for pshia. He's patur b'gneiva b'aveda, but shalach b'yad chayav. But if he has shlichus yad, he misappropriates the chefza, then that's a kiss of death. So Shomer Sachar, Shefayab in Neva Veda, Shomer Sachar has many more responsibilities. He's chayavim for that. Lo kol shekein. So the Torah, in other words, so the writing Shlichus Yad in both places, the second indication of it by the Shomer Sachar is superfluous, because I would know it logically. So the Lamai Hilchata Kabina Rachmana, why is it that the Torah does write, repeat it, the din of Shlichus Yad? Lomar Lacha, Shlichus Yad in a Shlichus Chisaron. Teach you a Shlichus Yad doesn't require a Chisaron. That's the first way of learning. Okay. Now this is Rabbi Yochanan quoting his Rebbe. Let's do the top line of Rashi. We'll do a little Rashi together. Okay. Vani Omer, the top line of Rashi. Vani Omer, Rabbi Yochanan Paliga, Rabbi Yosi ben Nehora Rabbe. Rabbi Yochanan is cholik with Rabbi Yosi ben Nehora, his Rebbe. I guess you could have a Talmud that's cholik with his Rebbe, I guess, but later on. The only thing that's a little surprising because Rabbi Yosef ben Arai Lachor is a Tana. He says, Va'amar, afhi the Sorach Nemra. In other words, he holds that each one is coming for, is necessary. V'levi sphere like Rabbi Yosef ben Arai in the Medrash Minei, the Ein Strich Lachi Saron, he mikrak kama lo tisa kataitin lach yuveya de mekster like. So he's saying like this, if the Torah would have only written it once, I would have said, you have to have Chisaron. That's more logical. You're misappropriating something and you use it. He says, and then further on, let's read the next Rashi. More later on explains that the first parsha is the Shomer Chinam, second one the parsha Samah. So if he did Shlichus Yad, that's a game changer. Now he's Chayiv for everything else that he would be Patur for. Kigon, Shomer Chinam, Bein Begneva, Bein Ba'onsin. Whereas the Shomer Chinam, he's only Chayiv for Pshia. Once he does Shlichus Yad, he's Chayiv on everything. The means the Shalach B'Yad Kina'a. Once he's Shalach Yad, it means like he does like a Kinyan in it, because now he quotation, he owns it. The Kamah B'Rishuto, the Shomer Saka Patur B'Meido Nishbar Nishba, Bein Ba'onsin. Okay, now, wait, hold on a second. Let me just do a few more Rashi, then we'll go. He says, Shomer Chinam Shepatur, he says, okay, let's just say this over outside and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay? So again, Levi holds that if you have Shlichus Yad, even though there's no chisaron, you didn't in any way damage the article, that still counts as shlichus yad, and now you're chayav for everything. That's the first step. Right, everybody go with that line. Okay, so the Gemara says, where does Levi know that that's true? So the Gemara says that Levi follows the Tana Rabbi Yossi ben Urai, that's Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe, he follows him. Rabbi Yossi ben Urai says, Rabbi Yossi ben Urai, right? Rabbi Yossi ben Urai says, if we look in the Torah, it says Shlichus Yad twice, once by the Shomer Chinam and once by the Shomer Sachar. So the Torah could have said it once by the Shomer Chinam, and I would have said, if a Shomer Chinam does Shlichus Yad, and he's chayav on everything, then a Shomer Sachar, who's like more, has more chiyuvim, certainly he's chayav on everything. And had the Torah only said it once, left to my own devices, I would have said that Shlichus requires chisaron. So why is Torah repeat it? So it repeats it to teach me right, that it does not require a chisaron. That's what we did so far. Okay, question. Go.
Rabbi Yochanan said that, right?
What? Where?
I mean, you have that.
I don't
Had
understand.
that in other places,
I
but
just I don't
only one person said, Ba'aniyah.
know. I don't know.
Remember,
I
it's
don't.
not Gaiva, it's.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Any other questions,
Rabbi
counsel?
Yochanan holds like Rav,
Well,
and Rabbi Yosef and Arai aren't
Rabbi
the same.
Yochanan, or we'll see in a minute how Rabbi Yochanan holds. Okay. Everybody good otherwise? Okay. Let's keep moving now. Okay. So now we're on line six in the Gemara. Everybody with me? Va'ani Omer, I, Rabbi Yochanan, say, Eina Mishuna. In other words, I hold, in other words, each one is not different. In other words, teaching me a different halakha. To Rabbi Lazar, Damar, Dabada, Akadi. That they both teach me the same halakha. In other words, they're both identical. They're both teaching me the same halakha. My Dabada, Akadi. What is it? That's the Bachids. Yishum De'ik LeMifrach. In other words, that they're both teaching me the same thing. They're both teaching me that Shlichus Yad, if there's a Chisaron, they're Chayav. They're both teaching me by the Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar. But the Torah needs to teach me by Shomer Chinam, and it needs to teach me by the Shomer Sachar, because I can't learn the Kaval Chomer the way you just said. He says, Yishum De'ik LeMifrach, while the Shomer Chinam, Shkem Yishlam Tishlami Kefil, B'toin your Yisod of that Kaval Chomer is the Shomer Sachar has greater Hiskaivus than the Shomer Chinam. But in one aspect, the Shomer Chinam has greater Hiskaivus than the Shomer Sachar. The Shomer Chinam, if he falsely claims it was stolen and he takes a false shavua to that effect, and then it turns out not that way, he's chayav kefel. And whereas the Shomer Sachar will never be chayav kefel with anything he watches. So since that's the case, I don't have this kal vachomer. Uman d'lo parech. Now the one that doesn't ask this kasha, meaning we could say it's Rabbi Yosef ben Horai, right?
We don't need to pass it.
In other words, he said that we could learn a kal vachomer, and he doesn't hold from this kasha. He says, "Uman d'lo parech sabar karnav lo shvua difa mikpela b'shvua." He holds the fact that, in other words, if we compare the same case of Geneva, let's say the Shomer Chinam with Geneva and the Shomer Sachar with Geneva. So the Shomer Chinam is pater from Geneva. The Shomer Sachar, he's chayav with Geneva, but he only owns the Keren. In other words, but he owns the Keren without Shvua. The Shomer Sachar, the Shomer Chinam is pater from Geneva, but if he chooses to lie under oath that it was stolen, then he's chayav kefel. So he holds the fact that the Shomer Sachar is chayav the Keren without a Shvua. That's enough. That's more of a chumrah than being chayav kefel with the Shvua. Anyway, so the point is, so again, we have like two tzedakim here, whether we learn this kal vachomer, we don't learn the kal vachomer, but based on that, we have the machlokes between Levi. Between Rab and Levi, right? So Levi learns the psukim that we don't need both, and the second one is come and teach me that the shlichus doesn't require a chisaron. And the other way would be to say no, I do need both because I can't learn the kal vachomer, and I don't have a lima to teach me that you have shlichus with a chisaron. So where the shlichus has to have a chisaron. All right. Now the next piece is focusing on, he wants to say that even if we would say like this Rav Lazar says Dabada Achadi, Rav Lazar says both of them are coming to teach me the same thing, both the Shlichus Yad. Even if I subscribe to Rav Lazar, the Gemara wants to say I could still touch that up, that it supports the idea that Shlichus Yad doesn't require a chisaron. I could learn like Reb Lazar, and I could still learn that Shlichus Yad doesn't require a chisaron. So let's see the back in the Gemara. Rav Amar, lo tamar Shlichus Yad, lo b'shem chinam, lo b'shem sachar. Rav wants to say that Shlichus Yad is superfluous both by the Shomer Chinam and by the Shomer Sachar. I don't need it by either one. He says, the take, right, exactly right. The taking is Shoel, because I could learn it out logically from a Shoel. A Shoel is somebody who borrows a Chepza, And he has ultimate liability. He's liable for everything. He's chayav for own sin. The only thing the shoal is pakur is mitzvah malacha and malacha. But the shoal is chayav for everything. And the shoal is chayav for everything. He's a taker. He just uses. He uses, doesn't get back. So the Gemara says, we take the shoal. Umash shoal, dal balan ta'avid. The shoal, he acts with knowledge and consent of the owner. And then Rashi says, the Bach has the shalach b'yad chayav. In other words, if he shalach b'yad, means if he misuses it, in other words, he's chayav in own sin, no matter what he does. If he misuses it, whatever happens, he's chayav in own sin. He says, shomer chinam and shomer safar lo kol shekein. So a shomer chinam and a shomer safar who, have a greater hischayavus, certainly they should be chayav for shlichus yad. They're right. They're not allowed. Right. So the Gemara says, lama nemar. So why? So there's two psukim that we went through that have shlichus yad or both superfluous. So lama nemar. So, in other words, this mahalach, right, I could use this mahalach and I could reject the kavachomer earlier, but I can have this kavachomer work. Then I have two extra psukim. He says, so one pasuk will teach me that shlichus yad doesn't mean chisaron. The other one teach me, in other words, I'm learning kavachomer from a shoel. A shoel is chayav own sin. A shoel will be chayav in shlichus yad. But there's an idea. If I'm learning a kavachomer, it can't be more chamor than the thing I'm learning it out from. So he says here, ma shoel b'ba'alin patur. So a din by the shoel, which I'm sure we'll have before the end of the sefer, is if the owner is working with me or for me, then I'm patur from everything. In other words, during that time, so let's say I hired the owner to work for me, so I'm patur. It says, Ma shoel b'ba'alin patur, af shomer chinam v'shomer safar b'alin patur. So if I'm learning the kavachomer for shlichus yad, I would end up thinking that I'm only chayiv, in other words, I'm not chayiv, the owner works for me, just like with the shoel. So one pasuk is teach me, right, we're overriding that kavachomer. Okay? So that's one way of learning. Now, then the Gemara says, Uleman. Now, according to the Tzad that holds, Shlichus Yad requires a chisaron, but if I learn this mahalach the way Rav is learning, I have two extra psukim. In other words, so Shlichus Yad requires a chisaron, and I have two extra psukim. One of the psukim I was learning teach me Shlichus Yad doesn't require a chisaron, which is a chiddush. So, but I'm not going to learn that for that, so I need something else to learn from it. This could be within Rav. He says, "Lamandamar shlichus. So, what do I need the two blanks for now? One is dayo with the balim, the same as before, right? The other one is leftatani, like we learned in the brayso. It says, el l'shvua. So, it says by the shomer chinam that he. Let me get the pasuk out. Okay, so I got it. Okay, so if you look in the Chumash on page 428, the top line, something about the Shomer Chinam. It says that the Shomer Chinam has to go. Elohim means the Beis Din here. He goes to the Beis Din. Meaning he's going to take a shvua that he didn't do shlichus yad. If he did shlichus yad, all bets are off. But it doesn't say mefurash that he has to take a shvua. So the Gemara is going to say that one of the shlichus yad is to set up like a gzeirah shava between the two. So he says here. He says, "Look, Tanya, the nikrabo Elohim l'shua. In other words, meaning that the shomer chinam will come to Bezin and take a shvua that he didn't have shlichus yad. Maybe it just means he didn't Torah. He says, I didn't do shlichus yad. Ne'emar shlichus yad l'matav and ne'emar shlichus yad l'malav." So the Shlichus Yad is said by the Shomer Safar. Shlichus Yad is also mentioned by the Shomer Kinam. So just like by the Shomer Safar, it says Shvuat Hashem Tiyah Bein Shneihem. If you look by the Shomer Safar, it says in Pasuk Yud, it mentions Mefurah, Shvuat Hashem Tiyah Bein Shneihem. Just like over there, it's talking about a Shvuah, Avkan the Shvuah. So too here, Shvuah as well. In other words, we're trying to learn that by the Shomer Chinam, it says, Venikrav Baal Abayit El Elohim, Lo Shalach Yidav Melech Re'eiv. Shomer Chinam is going to have to go to Beis Din and say that he, the Shomer Chinam, did not do Shlichus Yad, and then he's off the hook. So when he comes to the Beis Din, does he have to take a Shua? So the Torah doesn't say Mefurish he has to take a Shua. So it's mentioning Shlichus Yad, to teach me that just like low down below by the Shomer Sachar, mentions Shlichus Yad in conjunction with the Shua.
Says
It says Shua Hashem Tiyah Ben Shneim, that's what I just pointed out. So too by the Shomer Chinam is also talking about that he takes a Shua. Okay, so we have someone. So the bottom line is, I can learn that both of those psukim are superfluous, and I can learn it either way.
so
I could either learn that no chisa, that right that shlichus doesn't require chisaron, or it does require chisaron. Okay, let me just do some things, and that'll be it. Okay, now one second. This is the easy gemara. You get that? The beginning of Shabbos is Azahav, and then we have Ezu Neshech. So you'll see what Bava Metzia is really about. Now, okay, now let's take a look. Okay, let me do the sheet a little bit, and then we'll talk. A shomer is exempt from liability if the bikkaron trusted is destroyed due to an onus. In contrast, the thief is obligated to pay for stolen items even destroyed due to an onus. The Torah teaches that a shomer who is shaleth yad is similar to a thief and is liable to pay specifically lost due to an onus. The law is called Shlichus Yad. The question, what is the novelty of law Shlichus Yad? In other words, if a shomer who steals is chayav an on sin, and a shomer who does Shlichus Yad is chayav an on sin, so what's the difference whether I steal or I do Shlichus Yad? It seems to be the same thing. So we've got three differences. One we spoke of,
Yes.
one we spoke out already. Now, A, the Mishnah Mem Gimel, so today's Mem Aleph, so 2 days from now is Thursday. So on Thursday's daf, it says if a shomer was entrusted with a barrel of wine, and he lifts the barrel with intent to steal a cup of wine, and then the barrel accidentally breaks, shomer must pay for the entire barrel. So if I do Shlichus Yad, my Shlichus Yad is even for a portion of it, I'm paying for the whole enchilada. The Truma Sakri explains that an ordinary thief who takes a barrel with the intent of stealing a cup is only liable for a cup of wine. So if he's a garden variety goslin, he steals a whole barrel, but his intent is really to steal one cup, he's only paying for one cup. But if the shomer, and he used to do a shlichus yad, he's chayav the whole thing, he's not liable for the rest of the barrel because he never intended to steal and acquire the rest of the barrel. Torah teaches that a shomer who performs such an act of shlichus yad is liable for the entire barrel. The Or Sameach suggests that if a thief takes a barrel intending to steal only one cup of wine, and then the barrel actually breaks, he's not even liable for one cup since the wine that he intended to steal is mixed with the rest of the barrel. That's a chiddush. The Or Sameach wants to say he's totally
Did you
off
get
the
the
hook.
cup? We didn't get the cup.
In other words, he wants to say that, in other words, he never got the cup because the whole thing leaked out,
Before he
but he
got it
wants
out.
to say the whole thing was that sounds like it didn't robe. Okay, that's the first daftamim. Now, the second one, alternatively, the Truma Sekhrim explains that if not for the passage of Shlichus Yad, if a shomer takes the pikkaron with the intent to steal it, he would not assume the responsibility of a thief at that time because Yad Shomer, Yad Baal Abayit. The domain of the shomer is tantamount to the domain of a depositor. In order for a thief to assume responsibility for own sin, he must first perform a kinyan gzeila. In other words, the thief has to do a kinyan gzeila. Kinyan gzeila, I have to pull it usually to my rishus or something like that. The Torah teaches that a shomer who thinks the pikkaron can steal it assumes liability for own sin, even though he cannot formally acquire the pikkaron by lifting it. In other words, let's say he lifts it up, but I'm a shomer, I'm authorized to lift it up. So the Truma Sakri wants to say, Yad shomer kiad bala bayit. In other words, you gave me permission to do shmirah on it. So the fact that I lift it up by itself would not be an act of gzeila, but it could be an act of shlichus yad, he wants to say. All right, now the third difference is the Ritva says that a thief who steals an object with the intent to pay for it does not assume liability for own sin. The passage of shlichus yad teaches that a shomer assumes liability for own sin upon using or taking the pikkaron, even if he does so with the intent to pay for it. All right, now let me just do a story, and that will be it for today. Now, the Avos Yisrael of Vishnitz was known to be a very diligent scholar who never wasted a moment of his time. The Avos Yisrael of Vishnitz, he said, the Vishnitz of Rebbe. Now, during every available instant, he was occupied with either Torah or Avoda. This characteristic was so ingrained within his very nature that he felt pain by wasted time. Rebbe would often say, the most difficult Avoda for me is wasting time. Even the smallest unit of time is an irretrievable segment of one's lifespan. Why let it slip away without any positive use? On Yantiv, in his base matters, there was a break between Mincha and Maariv, during which everyone went home. Since everyone cleared out to rest after a fully packed day, the Gabbai would lock all the doors so he could also go home and rest. So once, just before such a break, a certain chassid fell asleep in a corner of the base matters. The Gabbai, figuring the shul was empty, locked up. After a short time, the chassid woke up and found that everyone had left and he was locked in. He frantically checked all the doors and finally found that the Gabbai had left the key on the inside of one of the doors. He opened the door and took the key with him with the intention of returning it to the Gabbai that night. When the Gabbai arrived, he found that the key to the door on that side of the shul was missing, and the door on that side of the shul remained locked. Understandably, the Gabbai searched thoroughly all over the shul but could not locate the key. When the chassid finally returned the key to the anguished Gabbai, he was relieved but a bit annoyed. After all, this man knew his address. Why hadn't he returned the key immediately? After the chassid went his way, the Abbas Yisrael said to the Gabbai, "Now I understand why Chazal say a person who borrows without permission is a thief, but a Shlomi Das is a Gazan. It seems troubling why this should be so. After all, he intends to return it later. He's a Shoel Shlomi Das, in other words, he's borrowing it without knowledge, but the tradition of Shoel, somebody intends to return it. Why is he like the Gazlan? But now it is easy to comprehend. Borrowing without permission causes the owner to waste time for absolutely nothing. This borrower is a thief of the innocent man's time, and a thief of time is also a thief." He
Not
wants
yet.
to say, like, in that way, he's got, okay, let me get the recording. They'll be in for a second.